reminder for the latecomers to turn your microphones on because it wasn't done before the meeting. Call the budget meeting to order. Would the Lone Ranger lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? And, oh, I'm sorry. We got to do the roll first.
Mrs. Baratella.
Here.
Ms. Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Mr. Hanna.
Here.
Mr. Horton. Mrs. Lando.
Here.
Ms. Latimer. Mr. Mayo.
Here.
Mr. Malter.
Here.
Mr. Mullen.
Here.
Mr. Nichols.
Here.
Mr. Potter.
Here.
Mr. Roush.
Here.
Mr. Ryan.
Here.
Mr. Shu. Mr. Swackhammer.
Here.
Mr. Van Castle. Mr. Van Atten.
Here. All right, we have a quorum. Ms. Faratella lead us in the invocation, and Mr. Potter.
Yes, Kimo Saudi.
November is the time that we honor
the veterans
and the active military. We should take a moment to recognize the sacrifices that these individuals have made for our country and thank God for the freedom we enjoy because of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll turn it over to the county manager for the presentation of the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will share my screen so that you folks here in the room and then everyone online can view this. Try to make it as big as possible. So thank you all very much. The budget obviously is a very collaborative process with you folks really leading the way. And it's such an interactive and thoughtful effort on your part. The amount of time that you all take to review this really shows your dedication, which is not surprising at all to those of us who work with you and work for you, but it does deserve recognition. So certainly the Finance Committee, Mr. Swackhammer, Ms. Fitzpatrick, Mr. Malter, Mr. Nichols, and now Mr. Horton, and certainly Mr. Roush has served a number of years on the Finance Committee, so kudos to him as well. The chairman, obviously, with all of his pink and multicolored flags in his binder, shows you how much time he puts into it, and that's much appreciated. And Ms. Latimer as well puts a tremendous amount of time. This couldn't happen without the finance department. So Tammy and Mitch, thank you so much. It's a long process, and then it's a feverish process as we approach this finish line to present it to you, where I'm constantly pinging them, and they do a great job responding. Chris Brewer, the deputy county manager, also does a phenomenal job. Kudos to Yvonne as well for helping us keep the trains running on time and making sure we have all the information that we need. And department heads. Department heads are just so dedicated. And when you folks give us targets and we communicate them back to the department heads, they are spot on, and they really get creative to find a way to make the budget work. So, and it goes without saying that all of our staff are our most important resource, in my opinion, and they all take the spending plan that you folks develop and implement them. So thanks to them as well. An executive summary, and I will email you this link as well if you want to click through the interactive graphs and such after this. But you folks know what a challenging time developing the 2021 budget was. We had so much uncertainty, especially from the state level. You folks do a phenomenal job managing our finances so we can weather some storms. But if the state is proposing 20% cuts, that really hurts. That's millions of dollars that we would have to absorb. And sales tax last year, at this point last year, with the economic shutdown and the restart, sales tax was not in a good place. So you folks took some proactive actions last year to get us into a point where we had a manageable budget. We also were able to see sales tax rebound very, very quickly, thankfully. And we will get into that a little further later, but sales tax is doing phenomenal at this point, which we're very glad for. It gives us more budget flexibility. And then the passage of the American Rescue Plan Act gives you folks additional flexibility, especially when it comes to capital projects and things that you could allocate your funds towards that you need to get done, you want to get done, but ultimately have a little bit more flexibility. And that has a direct impact on the budget as well. We had some wins in this budget, and we'll go through in more detail, but the New York State retirement system, the plan is doing very well. And the comptroller has reduced the rates, which saves us close to $2 million. So that is obviously a very, very good thing. In addition, as I mentioned, ARPA provides you with a lot of flexibility. So that's good news as well. But there have been, you know, really notable pressures on your budget in terms of the development of this budget. And that number one really is employee health insurance. Being a self-funded plan, we have the benefit, claims drive everything, but we have the benefit if claims are stable, we don't have to adjust the cost to the county or to our employees dramatically like a fully insured plan where they go up, you know, on average 10% annually. So we've had a number of years of steady, very low increases, but we have seen really double the amount of catastrophic claims. And we define a catastrophic claim as $50,000 per event or over. Bless you. Normally we experience, you know, a handful at most a year, and we're over a dozen this year. So that really does put an impact and forces us to allocate more funds in the budget to health insurance. So that is a very important thing that we have to manage, as well as we have two union contracts that have expired or are expiring. So going into 2022, we have to budget appropriately for that. All in all, though, you folks have done a phenomenal job along with all of our department heads and staff, and another very reasonable budget with a less than a 1% increase in the tax levy, and actually the tax rate drops almost 2%. So this will make a number of years in a row that the average tax rate that a citizen in Steuben County pays has decreased. The total budget might look a little wonky to folks. The dramatic increase in both revenue and expense, that really is related to the construction of the additional cell at the landfill. So if you took that out, I've highlighted that here for you, that the increase in expenditures without the about $13 million of landfill expense for the cell construction, it would be about an increase of 7% in expenses and about 9.5% in revenues. Always looking at budget by category, because that shows you where the dollars are and where the dollars go. For a number of years, public safety has been the cost driver in terms of percentage increase. This year, transportation, which is largely public works, has overtaken that in terms of a percent increase. And that is due to the recovery that we're experiencing. And transportation, public works, is the largest discretionary expense that you folks have in your budget. And unfortunately, in times of struggle, that's an area where cuts have to be made. And the department, Commissioner Spagnoletti and his crew have done a phenomenal job last year making the budget work. But during your budget process, additional funds can be allocated towards public works. You can see other relatively minor increases. So a lot of stability in the budget. Public safety is up again, but 2%, which is lower than much lower than previous years. It's about half of what previous year increases have been. But if you look at the pie chart, you can see that economic assistance still is the largest portion of your budget. And the single largest payment there is the local county share of Medicaid. Moving on to get a little more detailed, again, for transportation, you can see the dip that was forced to happen in 2021. And you can also see the additional allocation of funds to transportation in 2022. So as a result of the downturn last year, the transportation public works budget was decreased, this cost category, by a little over 5%. But again, because of this recovery, the 2022 proposed budget shows an increase back in of 7%. Some of that is for replacing vacancies that were zero based last year, either through the early retirement incentive or through basic vacancies, but also additional allocations of specifically in the bridge crew and bridge operations. And we'll talk about that a little more later. And it's also important to note that Commissioner Spagnoletti has retired, but, you know, just a tremendous amount of respect and kudos to him for all of his years of service of managing this budget that you folks give him. Moving on to public safety, again, public safety has been the largest cost driver for a number of years, and this budget really continues that investment, but at a lower rate. So again, a 2% increase in public safety costs. The largest portion of that increase is in the jail, and we'll talk about that as well. And if you look at growth since 2017, we've averaged almost 5% additional investment in our public safety operations since 2017. Economic assistance, again, the Commissioner of Social Services and her staff do a phenomenal job managing these programs and managing them as economically as we possibly can, despite the fact that nearly all of her operations and the operations of DSS are driven by state mandates. So you will see, you know, a very flat budget with this, a minor increase of less than less than 0.5%. And the largest drivers of those of the growth this year was budgeting for the statutory cap for Medicaid. We've because of you know, how well our funds are managed, and also working with the state in terms of what the weekly rates will be from New York State for the Medicaid share. We've been able to stay, you know, in the high 19 millions, but we have increased that this year just to provide the flexibility that if the state does push us all the way to the statutory cap, that we have the funds in there to do that. So that's a $375,000 increase. Detention center was something that's been talked about recently. We own the detention center, but have an operator run that, and we are looking to issue an RFP. So additional funds of about $165,000 have been allocated to that cost center, not knowing what the RFP responses would be. So we wanted some additional funds in there to be able to manage that. Again, looking back, and I'll fix this graph, I apologize, 2021 is bringing in some other cost centers, so it doesn't look like an increase, but I can assure you that in working with Tammy, the increase for health insurance is 11% for 2022, approximately 11%. And again, that is driven primarily by the high cost claims. The other thing that we should mention are specialty drugs that, and every plan is seeing that it's not just a self-insured plan, but depending upon which pharmaceuticals individuals are placed on, some of them can be upwards of $10,000 a month for an individual. So Excellus and our benefit advisor and broker Gallagher have been working together to try to expand managed care and concierge options to work with our employees, the enrollees in the plan, to look at what medication options are to see if there is some room there to be able to work, and if they can find the right pharmaceuticals for them at a lower cost. If not, unfortunately, every plan is seeing this. Talking to my counterparts, it's not something that is just for us. So if you look at this, obviously an 11% increase, and that increased our cost, but that also increases the premium share for the employees. It's something that we try to avoid to do. We want to keep the cost manageable, not to us, but also fair to our employees, but it really necessitated that. Our brokers were advising more than 11%, but we feel that we can manage that with this 11% increase. But if you look at, if you look over time of how much it's, even with this 11% cost increase baked in over since 2017, we really are managing it, I think, the best that we can. And the average increase per year, even with this large number baked in, has been less than 4%, which I think is fair to both us and to our employees. Retirement costs, again, and Finance Committee, rightfully so, had a lot of discussion about this and some thoughtful discussion, because many of you have been around back when the comptroller cut employer share contribution to zero, which may sound good, but when bad times come and the market isn't returning the investment that the plan needs, you see dramatic increases. You can see that we saved about $1.8 million just with the decrease in the ERS system. We have advocated in through NYSAC and with our discussions with the comptroller, we don't want to cost ourselves more money, but we also want to manage our finances and the plans conservatively and be able to manage it from a budget standpoint. So we've communicated through NYSAC, you know, please manage it to the level that you have to collect to make the plan whole, but don't drop, have a minimum contribution. Don't drop the rates to zero, because it might be a win for one budget, but it'll be catastrophic for future budgets. So, but in the short term, this is well funded and provided some needed budget relief. Staffing levels, and again, it's always so important to note just the tremendous work that our staff members do and what an awesome team that we have here. I personally feel very fortunate to work with every single one of them and all of you as well. Last year, you folks had the forward thinking to enact an early retirement incentive, and we want to carry those over. As the chairman and others have mentioned, you know, it's not just a one-shot deal, it's a one-shot program, but those savings carry on. But we have been judicious in the positions that we have put back into the budget, specifically 8 positions in public works, and most of them are in the bridge crew. Obviously, our bridge operations were very limited this year because we had a number of retirements from there through the early retirement incentive, but that's not a sustainable situation in my mind, and certainly from the feedback that we've received from you folks.
We had 2 crews, 1-to-1.
Exactly. So this reinvest back into public works, and then the only other large increase in staff, and it's 5 positions have been added to DSS, but those are directly attributable to raise the age and 100% reimbursed by the state. The sheriff and jail, we'll talk about these as well, again, highlighting your larger departments. For 2021, the sheriff's road patrol budget has remained relatively flat. As you can see here, it's a minor decrease of $40,000. We did not decrease staff, but what we did do, and there was a lot of discussion during your budget workshops, the 1.5 FTE, a deputy sheriff position and a part-time criminal investigator position have remained zero-based in this budget as they were in last budget. But there is additional revenue in the sheriff's department, which helps offset some of these costs, specifically the contract with Hornell and Arkport schools for school resource officers. We were able to increase anticipated revenue by $110,000. And as the sheriff has mentioned to you, there are additional discussions with other schools. So at some point in time during 2022, he may be coming back to you with those potential contracts in hand with revenue attached to be able to fill that deputy sheriff vacancy that was zero based, but that is something to come for you. A lot of time spent discussed on jail operations, and obviously, you know, the sheriff and his crew do the absolute best they can to manage the jail with all of the state staffing mandates and other pressures that they have had. We have had so many state-ready inmates during the court shutdowns. We are starting to get a little reimbursement from the state, which is good, but medical costs have really driven the increases in this budget. And you can see that, and during your discussions, you allocated an additional $300,000 to the medical cost of the jail. The medication assisted treatment for substance use disorders that has been passed through New York State Legislature will be implemented in 2022. The sheriff anticipates about an $80,000 cost with that, but also, if an inmate has cancer or has a hospital need, and there are no other dispositions. The sheriff works diligently with the district attorney and probation and others to see if there are other dispositions, or rather than staying in jail and going to a hospital at on our dime. But in many cases, that's just not possible. And that is what really is driven. Pharmaceuticals, again, this population is not immune to that as well. The cost of some specialty drugs really drives a lot of that. So overall, you can see the county cost of the jail has increased a little short of $500,000 for 2022. Public Works, again, always important. Again, your largest discretionary area of spend, but with the amount of miles of road and number of bridges that we have, and you folks constantly hear from your constituents, and we hear it as well about how important our roads and bridges are and how the crews from Public Works just do a phenomenal job. I think, you know, not to tout us too much, but I think you can tell when you cross the county borders and hit our county roads and the nice condition that they are in. So the good news is this budget proposes to return essentially to pre-pandemic levels. And the maintenance of bridges is one of the largest cost drivers of approximately $650,000 back into that. And then we also noted that pavement striping, general repairs has been increased, and a large portion of that is for pavement striping, which has generally been deferred in 2021. And for the first time in my memory, the commissioner recommended the allocation of, and you folks agreed, the allocation of approximately $800,000 from CHIPS funding to go towards equipment, which is an allowable expense. Normally, you folks and we just put it right into road repair and road reconstruction, but it portions of that can be used for equipment. And you folks in your budget deliberations and in committees have proposed to allocate an additional $800,000 of the CHIPS funding of about $4 million to equipment, to raise that equipment number to $2 million so that they can keep up with replacement of things that need to be replaced. But you still are left with about $3.6 million for CHIPS funds for road repair and maintenance. Capital projects and capital equipment, from a net perspective, you're in the general area of where you were last year. So folks in our department has been very judicious, and we're largely only doing replacement of our capital equipment. But it is important to stay on top of that. And we hear that from you folks all the time, and we want to live by that. So you'll see that there's approximately $260,000 for minor equipment, which are items less than $3,000. The largest allocation of that is for the Sheriff's Department, the jail, and Public Works. And then with major equipment, the net cost is $1.5 million. So $1.2 million of that is the county cost of Public Works equipment. But obviously, you have that additional $800,000 from CHIPS that is being applied in this. And then it's obviously very important to replace vehicles at the Sheriff's Department for our road patrol folks and investigators, and then some items of about $100,000 in the jail. This is also an area where ARPA comes into play. Obviously, the pandemic has shown us that the ability to be flexible and nimble in terms of ability to work is very, very important. And so we are in working with IT, doing a wholesale change from desktop computers to laptops with docking stations and monitors. So if a need arose, hopefully not another pandemic, but you know, we don't know what's coming, that everyone has a laptop that they can take and they can work in remote or another setting if the need dictates. So that's what we're moving towards. And you, Finance Committee during the budget process approved allocating $405,000 of ARPA funding, restricted funding for response to the pandemic, to purchase the laptops, docking stations, monitors. And that reduces your county cost in this budget of your capital projects by that amount. And also Public Works has a relatively small, in terms of previous years, $200,000 of capital projects for Public Works, and it's fuel system upgrades and the local share of bridge replacements. Sales tax, again, so very important. And any dollar collected in sales tax is one that doesn't have to be collected in property taxes. So we obviously are very cognizant of this and monitor it very closely. Last year was a tough year, but this year in this report, you can see that our year-to-date collections through the end of October are up $8.5 million or almost 20%. And if you look at that in comparison, so if you take the pandemic out of it, because obviously there was a downturn, if you take 2020 out of it, if you look back to 2019, we're still 15% higher than we were at that point prior to the pandemic. So folks are spending money. You folks all know that with the interstates that we have here, about 17% of our sales tax comes from fuel. And with fuel costs increasing, obviously that's a hurt to the consumer, not a fun thing for the consumer, but it does benefit them in terms of the county budget, because we do collect more when fuel prices go up. And it's always important to note, and I just received a report from NYSAC on Wednesday, New York State is taking a concerning trend in looking at your share of sales tax and saying, you folks are doing such a good job managing your county budget and keeping your reserves at a respectable level, that you folks have enough money, we have enough money, so they can take sales tax from us and we won't be hurt. They started that trend with the AIM payments. They wanted to cut AIM, and they did cut AIM. They restored it, but then made us pay for it. So that's coming out of sales tax. The fiscally distressed hospitals was supposed to be a one-time shot last year during the pandemic. Obviously, hospitals were hurting, but with the infusion of federal funds, most rural hospitals, from the report NYSAC has given, our money ahead of where they were prior to the pandemic. But, and the state assured us that it was going to be a one-time cut, but NYSAC just received the five-year financial plan of the state, and it retains this payment coming from our sales tax. So all in all, $350,000 of our sales tax is going to pay for state cuts. It's a trend that with the budget office that they have in Albany right now, I'm concerned that that will continue, that they'll continue to be fiscally responsible on their end or make whatever cuts they want. But in the end, by the time they close their budget, they can make that cut whole by withholding your sales tax. It's something that is highly unprecedented and very, very concerning. So we have to keep an eye out on that. But to close your budget, Finance Committee, certainly we have within projections and actual collections, we do conservatively budget sales tax. You folks do, and I think personally that's the right thing to do, because the downturn last year showed you what happened if you really aggressively pursue your sales tax. You can be underwater pretty quick. So for the 2022 budget, the appropriated amount of sales tax has increased by $1.7 million, which again is a conservative number. Fund balance, again, if I'll go over this quick and you folks can read it at your leisure, but our fund balance appropriations generally have remained flat if you take out the enterprise fund appropriation for the landfill cell expansion. So right around $7 million. Interest earnings, again, with some of the uncertainty and the 3+1 program that Tammy and others are looking at, Tammy and Mitch, you know, might give us additional flexibility in here, but we haven't pushed this number. We've kept the general fund interest earnings flat for 2022. The levy, again, I think you folks have done a fantastic job coming to this budget, an increase of less than $500,000 on the actual levy, which is less than a 1% increase, is well within the property tax cap limit. You could have raised taxes $2.5 million approximately. So you are well below that, and you will get carryover next year because of that. The other thing that I think is important to note is because of the stabilization, if you look at the charts, you folks have kept the tax levy very, very flat, minor increases, which is obviously a benefit to our property taxpayers. But that also, with the increase of property values, drives down the average tax rate for the ninth consecutive year. So that's about almost a 2% decrease in the average property tax rate that individuals pay. And we say it again, if we were in other counties, we wouldn't even say that the levy increased. We would say the average tax rate decreased and you're decreasing taxes by 2%. But again, we want to be transparent and show that the levy is going up, but the average tax rate is going down. And you can see the history there. Room tax, again, was really hammered, as it's very clear, last year with the pandemic. So cuts were made. The agencies all stepped up, especially the Conferences and Visitors Bureau, and proposed reduced allocations that you folks accepted. Again, we're proposing, based on current year collections, an increase of about 45% in actual collections. And obviously, all of your room tax collections have to go for either tourism promotion or economic development activities. And you folks had a very deliberative process for reasonable increases to get to more of a normal year for our outside agencies. It wouldn't be a presentation for me if I didn't show you the dollar chart. So this just goes to show, and for folks who haven't seen it before, just the fact that this was called 9 for 90. This is the first year we've actually dropped below 90% for those 9 mandates. And that's largely due to a decreased cost in the pension. But again, so taking that aside, 88% of your property tax levy goes to pay for just 9 state programs. And if you factor in community colleges, you know, you're up to 95%. So really, it's the actions of the state. And this is what is so different from New York State versus other states in the nation, of why the property taxes in New York State are at the level that they are. It is largely due to the state passing mandates, especially Medicaid, onto local governments. And we'll continue to watch. Again, I note here in the conclusion that you folks continue to do a tremendous job. It's such an honor to be able to work for you and work with you on this process. And we feel that the budget is very fair to the taxpayers, and that it will give our departments exactly what they need. Maybe not all that they want, but what they need to keep services going in the coming year and to serve our taxpayers and our residents to the best of our ability. But we always have to watch Albany. And once your process is done here, their process starts up. And that's when things get a little crazy some years. So we will continue to watch Albany, hopefully with their infusion of federal funds, that it won't be a year of great surprises in Albany. Fingers crossed, but as always, we'll work with our Association of Counties and others to certainly keep you folks apprised and advocate to keep counties whole in the process. And Mr. Chairman, that is all I have.
Very good. Thank you, Jack and Chris and Tammy and Mitch and all the department heads. I know we, the bean counters of us in this group, appreciate the quick turnaround and the clear answers that you provide us going through this process. Would any of the legislators like to make comments or have any other questions, since this is a workshop? Gary.
I just had a question. How is
your microphone on, please?
Just had a question, Jack. How does the state come up with the amount of money they withhold from sales tax? Is there a percentage, or do they just tell us?
For what they've done for AIM, and yeah. So they looked at the actual cuts. So the it was dollar for dollar. So what they proposed to cut AIM in the state budget, they made it whole, but then took that exact dollar amount. And then for the fiscally distressed hospitals, each hospital was, and I don't know how Department of Health or Division of Budget allocated it, but they determined the fiscally distressed hospitals in our area and what they were owed, and then just took those dollars. So it's a dollar for dollar.
Dollar cut. For dollar. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Hilda.
So I am not a bean counter, and I appreciate all the work that the department heads and Jack and Chris have done, and certainly the finance committee to do this, because I depend on them more with questions than mine. So I appreciate it and thank them.
Carol.
I was just wondering, the online sales tax, has that made a dramatic change to the sales tax?
It certainly has. It's tough to get the insight, and we get reports from NYSAC. It's tough to get a lot of insight into what impact that has had. I would say 10% easily. That has been a big infusion, and we started seeing it last year. I think last year would have been far worse than it was were it not for the online sales tax, and folks were staying home buying stuff on Amazon and others, and that helped plug the holes a little bit. So yes, you're right, Carol, that has a dramatic impact.
Yeah, actually, with the online sales tax that the towns received, they received more sales tax revenue last year than they had previously.
Mike.
Yeah, Jack, I know you mentioned staffing needs in public works, sheriff's department. Any other areas that we really have some staffing needs in?
Staff is thin. I mean, these are as low as you've ever been. So staff is doing a tremendous job keeping everything going. Each department would probably tell you that they have additional needs, but they're getting the job done. So none others that really that resulted in a reduction of service. Public works, those staff reductions resulted in a reduction of service. Services are still being rendered, but really public works and social services are the ones that we keep our eye on, but certainly we work with our departments. And, you know, if a critical issue arises, you know, we will work with you during the year about filling vacancies and others.
I can tell you that soil and waters is in desperate need of more manpower. Mm-hmm. Desperately.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I think your question has merit, but because we did what we did last year with the early retirement to trim down, we only wanted to add back where it was absolutely needed. If it was affecting service, then Jack was willing to approve new hires. But,
yeah.
But we don't want to just make up for the, how many did we have take retirements?
47.
We were thinking maybe 15 mm-hmm. at first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was very helpful last year in order to make this 2021 budget. We don't just want to bounce right back to that. So,
well, I think long term we have to be careful we don't shortchange our department heads.
Yeah, and you don't want to overwork them on and have everybody have to be running a bunch of overtime, but still let them bring that, you know, that need or that issue forward. Aaron?
Yeah. I was looking at the manner in which the landfill enterprise fund affected the overall revenues and expenditures. What about ARPA? Do you have a similar breakdown for how that does it as well?
So largely we have not included ARPA in either the expense or the revenues. We've done that as an off budget activity. So they are, ARPA is accounted for, but separately than during your budget process. So it does have an impact, but not necessarily on the budget.
Yeah, I think because you have a 3-year time to spend the ARPA money, it would really sway a budget looking at it year over year comparisons if you included it in it.
So can I ask a follow-up question on that?
Mm-hmm.
Just because there is quite a bit of revenue and expense increase separate from ARPA, is how much of that is the bouncing the staff back up? Do you have a total number on about what that is to get the staffing back up to about, you know, where it was, what we've done here?
Really rough guess, $700,000.
Okay.
A lot of it, what you are seeing, I mean, it's a very good point. You're not necessarily seeing our share of ARPA, but you are seeing increased state aid in other areas. So if you look at mental health, there's both increases, the county cost has remained relatively flat, but there is an infusion of federal funds for services. So that's, we are getting additional state aid from that standpoint. So it, to your point, it's not necessarily our share of ARPA, but it's the impact of ARPA and pass-throughs from the state.
So then do we have the projected expenses related to those revenues coming in too?
Yep.
All right.
Kelly first.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about how hard we've worked to keep the tax levy at an even dollar amount. and that the influx of sales tax revenue, the importance of that, and that it's very important for us to remind our constituents that for every dollar that they spend in Steuben County, that brings sales tax revenue here. So if people are really interested in keeping their taxes down, that it's very important to spend your money on the services and goods that you need in Steuben County.
Just a statement of Public Works. Yeah, the landfill, there was increased costs there, but it doesn't affect real property taxes. We bring in enough money. And an expansion of landfill, yeah, it's capital expense, but we need it to keep the operation going. And on the Public Works side, Barbie, the thing that we cut the most was the bridge crew because of that early retirement. There were so many of them that happened to fit into that. And so we went from two crews to one crew. And I think we have in this budget to work it back up to get back to two crews, because we have so many bridges in the county, one crew will not be able to keep up with it.
Did you have something?
Yeah, I just like to talk about the sales tax. When we set out there, and the state is now taking the money to supplement the Ames Fund and now the hospitals. You know, there was legislation passed to allow us to collect that 4% and the additional sales tax sitting out there. And I guess I don't understand from a legal standpoint how they can do that by just taking it when legislation has already been passed. And I was wondering if somebody's looked into that from a legal aspect.
Yeah, it's a good point. So I'm not sure if this budget is adopted by legislation, so if it supersedes what they have previously allocated. But I think not that $350,000 is insignificant, but it's a small portion of your sales tax. But I think the ire is growing that some action through the New York State Association of Counties, if this continues to be a trend, I think is a good idea. So we can absolutely engage with them. I haven't heard of them talking about taking action, but certainly we could discuss that with them.
I'm looking at long term.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If they view this as a piggy bank, then
yeah, if they start whittling away, they're just going to keep going.
Yep. I think for me, the final page on the back side of this speaks volumes in that we have a $223 million annual operation here, and we have $400,000 a year in debt payment. So we are a very healthy county operation with very little debt, thank God. And then the balances in that section below that show that we don't have to go to get bonding to do most anything like many counties do. I mean, many counties are bonding their public works budgets, and that's pretty scary. So I think what we do and how we build our budget, and we're conservative on revenue estimates, and we hold back on as much spending as possible without affecting the service delivery. I think it's a good formula, and we need to keep doing it that way. So, all right, if nothing more, we go to the only general order of the day. I'd ask the clerk to please read resolution 1.
Our chair and vice chair of that committee aren't here, so we're like,
oh.
Who's willing to introduce this?
Introduced by Mr. Swackhammer. Presenting local law tentatively number 7 for the year 2021, establishing the annual salaries of certain elected or appointed officials and department heads of the County of Steuben who have a fixed term of office for the fiscal year 2022.
Is there a second? Any comments or questions? This is by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution carries. Is there anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Just one note. I probably should have said it under the announcements. We are going to have
gathering
reception
after the November monthly meeting for those legislators that are leaving
after the public hearing of the budget. After the public hearing on the budget,
which is the 20
11:30.
Okay,
that same day.
Okay. Because one of them isn't going to be here in December, so we would have missed her. So we pulled it in to November. So you're all please welcome to attend. And the new legislators that are on the call, I've spoken to each one of you. We would welcome you to that gathering as well and any future meetings for the balance of the year.
Where's the gathering?
Here. Right here. All right. We are adjourned.
That is to be a record.